If you've ever been a parent, or taken care of an infant for any length of time, or even just had a baby in the same house as you, you know how much sleep matters. When will the baby sleep? When will I sleep? For how long? Please don't wake up yet. If this gets bad, and sometimes with kids it gets bad, you'll do anything for a few hours. Which brings us to the Fisher-Price Rock and Play Sleeper. If there's a device out there that will get a child to sleep and help them stay that way, then there are parents desperate enough to try it. And sometimes, the unimaginable happens.
Tonight, parents warn to stop using the Fisher-Price Rock and Play Sleeper immediately. The move comes just days after a Consumer Reports investigation found at least 32 deaths linked to the Incline Sleeper.
That's why you can't buy the Rock and Play Sleeper anymore. In the United States, anyway. Here in Canada, it's called the Fisher-Price Rock and Play Soothing Seat. And yes, it's the same thing. I can buy this right now. I have an open order sitting on an online retailer right in front of me. Does a label change that much? Can a new name help parents use this product in a safer way? And look, I get that there are loopholes and regulations around products, but doesn't the term better safe than sorry come into play at some point? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Ariel Brewster is a senior editor at Today's Parent. Hi, Ariel.
Hi.
And Claire Gagne is the health editor at Today's Parent. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
Ariel, first of all, maybe can you just describe the Rock and Play? Like, what does it look like? What does it do?
Sure. It's sort of a waist-high place to put your baby down. It's not as flat as a bassinet. It's not as seat-like as a bouncer chair. It has mesh sides. It can fold up and sort of collapse into itself to go under a bed. Your baby would sort of sit in it in a nestled position. And I should mention there are also safety straps to keep them in it.
Right.
It could be used for naps. It could be used when you want to take a shower and drag it into the bathroom, when you want to unload the dishwasher. And
place to immobilize baby for a little while.
Yeah, or just to put them down without putting them on the floor.
And how do parents use it in general?
I think it depends. A lot of parents probably use it for naps. They nurse their baby. The baby falls asleep. You put them in the Rock and Play. You go unload the dishwasher. Some parents use it for sleep, and that might be for a nap, or it might be for the whole night long, obviously with intervals, breaks, to feed the baby. In the U.S., the product was labeled as a sleeper. It said safe for overnight sleep right on the box. In Canada, it does not.
How popular are these things?
Well, we know that 4.7 million of them were recalled in the U.S., so quite a few were sold. You know, when my first daughter was born, it didn't exist. So it's not something that I had as a parent, but I had heard of it, you know, going through my parenting. And in a lot of parenting groups, Facebook groups where they talk about sleep, it's called a lifesaver. It's something that many parents sort of have come to rely on as a place where their kids might sleep for a three-hour stretch versus maybe a 20-minute stretch, you know, that they were getting in like a flat bassinet-type environment.
I do think they've been increasing in popularity. Even between having my first kid and second kid, I started seeing them out there more. Walmart, Target, when Target was in Canada, they started doing designer collaborations as well. So you could only get the basic Rock and Play, you could get a Jonathan Adler designed Rock and Play with special fabric or wooden accents. There were a lot of different options. Some of them were as low as like $80. It could go up to $120, $170, depending on how fancy. However, for a place for your baby to sleep, like $120 is actually quite cheap when you look at the other options out there, which I think was part of the popularity as well. When you know you're only going to use it for a couple months to be in your room, or when the baby's under 3 months, it seemed like a great option.
I think you also saw its sort of cult-like status in the reactions that came out after it was recalled. Like, there were stories on how to wean your baby off the Rock and Play. You know, what are you going to do now that...
Oh, really?
You know, so you kind of got a sense of how ingrained it had become in sort of an early parenthood. It was, you know, that product that everybody had that they relied on for their kids to sleep in.
So this is a major recall in the parenting world then, it's fair to say?
Fair to say.
Yeah. Why was it recalled?
Consumer Reports did an investigation, and they linked the Rock and Play to 32 deaths in the United States.
32 deaths.
32 deaths since 2009. This sort of came out in stages. The Consumer Product Safety Commission issued a joint warning with Fisher-Price, saying that parents should discontinue use of it once the infant has been able to start rolling over or is 3 months of age. And I think that was always in the guidelines on how to use the product, but they came up with a warning on April 5th. And then on April 8th, Consumer Reports published a full investigation, and it became clear that they had been looking into it for a while.
Okay.
So they had, you know, interviewed doctors, looked at medical evidence. I think there were some lawsuits that had been launched from some of the families where the babies had died, and they had been digging around, and they sort of said, hey, we have guidelines for safe sleep. The guidelines are babies should be lying flat on a flat surface. There shouldn't be anything that might cause them to suffocate nearby. Like, so we like, you know, no blankets in the crib, no stuffies, no pillows. These are all very longstanding
sleep those
guidelines.
Yeah.
They're very clear. And the Rock and Play doesn't meet those guidelines. So Consumer Reports seem to be saying, hey, we need to look at this product. We're linking it to these deaths. Fisher-Price at the time and still, to my knowledge, is saying that there was misuse of the product. So it was being used longer than the recommended time. So like past 3 months or past when a baby could roll over.
Right.
Or maybe there was additional bedding put into the Rock and Play that shouldn't have been there. I don't think we know all those details at this point. But Consumer Reports basically was saying, hey, we've got 32 kids who've died. Let's look at this product. It was shortly after that that they actually recalled the product.
How do babies die in this thing? Is it suffocation? Is it, do we know?
We don't know all the details on that. Still, the CPSC is focusing on rolling over. So babies who, they've reached an age where they can turn themselves over, but they can't get themselves back into a position where they can start breathing. And so parents sometimes don't even know that their baby can roll over,
right?
Like they didn't roll over yesterday, put them in a product, and now they're rolling over. So that is also why it's like that 3 months, because 3 months would be sort of an age of that milestone where, you know, babies more likely will be able to roll over. That is one cause of death. There are indications that there could have been, you know, other contributing medical factors in some of the deaths. So that also needs to be looked at. But there's also something called positional asphyxiation. And that is, it's basically, it means you're suffocating based on your position. So the babies would have gotten themselves into a position where their chins were sort of down on their chest, and it's cutting off the airway. That is something that can happen in a car seat. It can happen in a swing. It does happen, and I think it's something that they'll be looking at.
Parents might be using it wrong or using it for longer than the intended time. But I mean, I'm a parent, and I understand that you do what works. But even for those who aren't parents, Ariel, because you guys talk to millions of parents, give us a little bit of insight into the mind of a parent that is trying to use contraptions like this to get their kid to sleep.
Sure. I think when we posted our story, we got a lot of been there, done that moms who were very defensive or saying, you know, I suffered with sleep deprivation. That's just what being a parent is, basically buck up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty unfair because my sense is that when you're using this device, it's because you don't have a good sleeper naturally. And we're not talking about parents who are leaving their kids in a Rock and Play for 8 or 9 hours and assuming that early parenthood is a full night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I think it's parents who are hoping to get a 2 or 3 hour stretch instead of a 20 or 30 minute stretch. They didn't have unreasonable expectations. They tried bouncing on a yoga ball for 1 hour, 2 hours, then gently putting the baby in the bassinet. Mm-hmm. They tried pre-warming the bassinet with a microwavable beanbag. You know, they'd done everything, every white noise machine, lullaby, and the only way their baby slept longer than 30 minutes was in the Rock and Play. And that bought them maybe 3 or 4 hours. And that is considered a huge victory when you have a young baby. So I don't think we should think these are negligent parents. These are parents who are actually trying everything, and they're extremely sleep deprived.
Because what happens too in a lot of those cases is you start maybe making other decisions that aren't that safe. You fall asleep with the baby on a couch, or just in a rocker. And so parents who are deciding to use products to help their baby sleep are not necessarily taking a shortcut, or they've actually spent a lot of time weighing all the risks and benefits, and they know that they're not functioning properly. And so they're making a choice. I think my baby is safer here in this thing than with me at this time.
So now we get to the risks and benefits part. This product is still available in Canada, correct?
So the product is available in Canada, but it's not called a Rock and Play Sleeper. That is what it's called in the United States. In Canada, it's called a Rock and Play Soothing Seat. And so the pictures on the box and the wording and everything sort of implies that it's, you know, for that first use that Arla was talking about before, where you maybe need to empty the dishwasher and you put your happy baby next to you and then you might talk to them a little bit while you're doing it, but they're just sitting in it.
Sure.
I mean, that's not reality, especially with a newborn. Newborns sleep for a lot of the day.
And, yes, hopefully.
And, maybe not at night.
Maybe not at night. But if you have a baby that's napping, those chances are it's going to, it might sleep. Even though that's what it's called in Canada, it is the same product. So a baby might fall asleep in the product in the United States, just as they might fall asleep in the product in Canada. The reason it's still for sale here is that Health Canada had concerns about it, but they brought up their concerns in 2011. When Mattel brought the product to Canada, they said, whoa, they're calling this a sleeper, and it doesn't meet any of our requirements for a safe sleep environment. We actually have regulations here. They're called the Cribs, Cradles, and Bassinets regulations, and they sort of outline what a product that's going to be sold here for that purpose needs to look like. You know, it probably has to be of a certain size, and the one thing it definitely needs to be is flat. This product is not flat. It wasn't until they changed the name of the product and all the labeling to call it a soothing seat that it was even allowed to be sold here.
How different are the actual two products?
We did try to find out the best we could if there were any design differences. We don't think there are. Everyone talks about them as though they are the same product. Yeah. We asked Mattel if there were any design differences. They did not respond to that part of the question. They referred to the labeling differences. So We're assuming they are the same product.
I can tell you I bought two. I bought one in the U.S. My parents are American. I had it shipped to their house because there was more variety. I was shopping around for a different design, and I got one that I liked better while shopping online in the U.S. Smuggled it in.
Yeah.
And I also, I think I got one from an event here in Toronto. I did not notice different labeling on the box. Did I look that closely? I'm not sure if one said soothing seat and one said sleeper. I can tell you I used both. I had one upstairs and one downstairs. And to me, they were the exact same product, just different colors. One was a bunny. One was a lamb.
But when you guys talk to Canadian parents about this, they use it differently?
No, they do not. They use it the exact same way an American parent would use it. I wanted to add that a lot of parents who use the product have babies who have something called reflux, which is not just spit up. It's a baby who always pukes a lot after a feed.
Right.
And you're instructed to keep them upright for like 30 minutes after a feed. This is actually quite difficult if you have a baby who falls asleep while nursing or falls asleep while taking a bottle. And then you're supposed to keep this asleep newborn upright somehow without waking them.
Yeah.
The Rock and Play really, to me, solved that problem. And that's actually why I got it for my second kid. My first kid was super barfy. It was a nightmare. I thought, oh, here's what I needed, some way to keep him upright without waking him.
So you put him in there to sleep.
Definitely.
And other parents you talked to in Canada did the same thing.
Yes. I mostly did it for naps, I'll admit. I never did it for overnight because his reflux never seemed as bad then. But I can see if it's working during the day, logically you would think, why not do it at night as well?
What do doctors in Canada think about the fact that this is available here after it's been recalled?
Well, the Canadian Pediatric Society was concerned. They were concerned as soon as the news started coming out in the United States about the product. They did send a letter to the Minister of Health on April 11th, basically just asking for them to look into it. You know, I think their point of view was, hey, this looks like it might be dangerous. Let's get it off the market until we know for sure.
Yeah.
They didn't get a response to their letter. And, you know, the Dr. Michael Dickinson, who I spoke to about this product, and he's very experienced and has, you know, a lot of, you know, parents and babies in his practice. You know, babies are the same. That was his point. They're the same in Canada and the United States. They're the same. Babies are the same. Parents are the same. He understands that sleep is a big issue for parents, and he knows that they'll go to, you know, different lengths to get their babies to sleep.
Right.
So the doctors in Canada are concerned that this product is still on the market.
It is possible that more Americans are more desperate for more sleep at an earlier age due to differing mat leave policies. I don't know that to be true for sure. That's just sort of an observation. my American friends go back to work right around 3 or 4 months when their babies hit the 4-month regression and their sleep is terrible and they really need to get a solid chunk. I think Canadian parents with parental leave have a little bit more leeway when it comes to dealing with sleep deprivation for a longer amount of time. They're not going into the office right away.
So if Health Canada is not issuing a recall, do we know why, other than the language on the pack? Is there a reason behind it?
They're pointing to the fact that in Canada, there haven't been any incidents. So, you know, we talked about the 32 deaths right. in the United States. There haven't been any reports of deaths in Canada. I don't know. I mean, there are many more people that live in the United States than there are in Canada. I mean, there could be lots of reasons for that. An unfortunate way to look at the situation would be we need to have a death before we take a product off the market.
Right. When I was reading your story and we wanted to talk to you guys, I mean, the phrase that kept popping into my head is better safe than sorry. And it just seems like that's right. maybe being missed here.
I feel in my interactions with Health Canada, feels like they're really just going by the book at this point. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes at Health Canada. I just know what they're telling me. Health Canada's not, the government general is not known for giving you all the information
organization, for sure.
that you ask for. They're really going back on this idea that because it's not marketed for sleep, it's out of their hands. I mean, as a parent myself and a health editor at Parenting Magazine, I agree. Better safe than sorry seems like the way it should be looked at.
One thing that's been interesting for us, because we cover sleeping, safe sleep guidelines, we cover products over the years. Historically, it's kind of the opposite. Health Canada is a lot more stringent about what can be sold here than in the U.S. Every Canadian has had this experience where you see some product, then you click around, you Google, you find out, oh, it's not available here. Mm-hmm. So in the baby world, the sleep world, we had had co-sleepers that pull up next to your bed. Those are popular.
Oh, yeah.
They were banned in Canada, still available in the U.S. There was the Dock-a-Tot, which is essentially this sort of big pillowy...
Looks like a baby canoe. I remember that thing.
Yeah, it's a big pillow with pillowy sides. And I think probably 2 or 3 years ago, they became super popular both in Canada and the U.S. Health Canada banned it, and they made Dock-a-Tot take down their Canadian site. They made them take all the pictures of the babies using the product and make sure they had eyes open instead of closed eyes.
Wow.
Because, you know, that implies sleep. Wording had to be changed from sleeper to lounger, you know, sort of ridiculous terms when we're talking about newborns. So historically, Health Canada has been the agency that's really clamping down on safe sleep environments. And this one doesn't really fit the pattern. And it seems like it's just because of the label on the box.
They got the label right at the beginning as opposed to Dock-a-Tot.
Right. Well, interestingly, it was Health Canada. To be fair to Health Canada, they were the ones in the beginning who said, hey, this isn't.
Right, they caught it at the beginning.
They did.
And they complied, and then no recall can change that because they're not using the
language. Which is, you know, why I think the Canadian Pediatric Society and what we were trying to say in our article, too, is maybe it's time for another look.
Right. To get back to the sleep desperation of parents, how often, and maybe in general, but also maybe specifically, because I know you guys got a lot of feedback from this piece, how often will parents ignore a recall like this if they have something that's working for their baby that doesn't sleep?
I think they'll ignore it quite often. I mean, I think a lot of parents will research on their own, but a lot won't. We even found that a lot of people read the Facebook copy, but didn't click through to even find out how babies were using or dying in the device. They assumed it was due to parental misuse. A lot of the comments were very dismissive without being thorough. Getting back to the sleep thing, there's no doctor, there's no website, not even today's parent, who can tell you this is how risky it is to co-sleep with your baby in the bed versus this is how risky it is to co-sleep with your baby in a Dock-a-Tot versus putting your baby in a rock and play. Like it's just impossible to compare those risks and control all those factors and variables. So even the most well-intentioned parent, the one who's done all the research, who knows it's recalled in some places, is still going to have to make that judgment call for themselves and weigh the balance of getting some sleep versus getting no sleep. And it's going to be up to each parent, each couple, even within a couple, you might disagree about whether or not the baby's safest between you two. Are you sleeping too heavily? You know, do you have other kids in the house? There's just so many factors.
Do we know what's going to happen next here? Do we have any idea if Health Canada will look at this again?
I don't think we do.
No?
We don't. We do know that they issued 2 recalls last week. they just seem to be sort of covering their bases from what I can tell. They did issue one looking at Rock and Play sleepers, so using that sleeper label that they use in the United States that were being sold on Amazon.ca.
Okay.
As well as sort of some sleepers that were third-party, sold by third-party sellers. And the years went back to 2009, 2011. So it's almost like they're looking at, are there any potentially on the market right now and recalling those? They have not issued anything on the Rock and Play Soothing Seat, which is the one that is currently sold in Canada. We don't know what's going to happen next.
That's amazing because it seems like they have been paying attention to the work around it and have decided to do something, but the language is still fine.
Yes.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Arielle.
Thank you.
Claire Gagne and Arielle Brewster of Today's Parent. That was The Big Story. For more from us, we are at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We are on your Twitter feed at TheBigStoryFPN and at Frequency Pods on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you would like to be so kind as to rate us or review us, you can find us on your podcast platform of choice, Apple or Google or Stitcher or Spotify. Did you know if you search The Big Story Podcast on Google right now, you can hit play right on that page? Claire Brossard is the lead producer of The Big Story. Ryan Clark and Stephanie Phillips are our associate producers. And Elisa Nielsen is our digital editor. And I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk on Monday.